Welcome to the Gear Slum, your one-stop shop for all things guitar culture nonsense. I'm Aaron.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Cole.
We slum it hard so you don't have to.
So guys, my neighbor, my band concert Sherpa neighbor, you know?
Yes.
First of all, speaking of Sherpas, I really appreciated Ed Chu, his post about how much he hates people that climb Mount Everest just as much as we do.
Yeah, yeah.
That was very, that was very validating.
Yeah.
It was very well written, as his posts always are.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
And okay, so my neighbor went to see a band tonight in Layton, Utah, which is a very small, and at like their amphitheater or whatever. And you have to guess what band it is.
About a Horse.
Phil already knows because we talked about this before.
I gotta go see.
So I know this is less fun. It is an old band.
No, we're gonna cut that part out, but I'm gonna pretend like I'm gonna guess too. I'm gonna pretend like
old,
I'm
like
guessing.
They've been around a long time, or old like, or both.
Both.
Is it
it's not like a band that just came out of 80-year-olds or something.
Yeah.
The Monkees.
Is it a lot of people? Is it like a large group of musicians?
Yeah, it is a large group of devoted
Earth,
followers.
Wind and Fire.
No, not the people in the band. Like,
yeah. are they large?
Are there a lot of band members?
Yeah.
Are they
Is it Polyphonic Spree?
It's not like a crazy. It's like five or six.
Okay,
so Phil, you shut up. You know who the band is. It's talking loud over Aaron is not going to help this game be more entertaining.
Is it a ska band?
No. They were formed in Stony Brook, New York.
Is it Fish?
The Fat Boys.
In 1967.
Oh, dang. That is a long time ago.
Yeah.
That's going to throw you off.
Is it the Kinks?
I don't think so. I mean, their band, this probably won't help you. Their original name was Soft White Underbelly.
Oh, I've heard that. I mean, I've just heard the phrase.
It's gross.
I've never heard it like as a band.
Soft White Underbelly is also, right? That's the name of that YouTube. That's honestly not far. Like, they're like same type of genre. Soft White Underbelly is that YouTube channel where that guy interviews, like, you know,
it's also and stuff. A three-word title. It remains a three-word title.
And when I made a joke about a whole bunch of devoted followers, that was also a little bit of a hint earlier.
Oh.
So they...
Would I know any of their songs?
Yes.
Yes. One of their songs is extremely famous, and there was even an SNL sketch that was based solely on this one song. And on the prominent use of a single instrument in that song.
It's Don't Fear the Reaper.
Yeah. Blue Oyster Cult. The cult. There's the devoted followers.
Yeah. I get that.
Do they have another hit?
So freaking Blue Oyster Cult.
Other songs that were
right?
Like, that's cool.
Who would have thought that you could go see Blue Oyster Cult in Layton, Utah in 2022?
So my question was.
Yeah, what were their other.
My question
songs.
For
Godzilla.
Was,
yes. Yes. So
and Burden
that go?
For You.
Oh, okay. I know that one.
Oh, Godzilla.
Don't know it.
Godzilla.
You've never heard Godzilla?
No. But Burning For You, that's a great song.
I'm burning now. I'm burning for
burning
you.
For you.
Honestly, The Reaper and Burning For You is like a cool sound. Yeah. Oh, there goes Tokyo. Oh, Godzilla.
You never heard this, haven't you, Phil?
I don't think so.
You don't remember it when you were from high school? I think it was pretty big when you were in school. Maybe it came out a little bit later.
Right here, Phil.
Woo!
Okay.
No, but that's great.
You've never heard that song?
I don't think I have.
That's very
strange. Everywhere.
Okay, so my question to Cole was, is this one of those bands that's like like the Beach Boys, where it's like, okay, there's one original member and then everybody else is like,
yeah,
have rotated through. So it's like, okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It's so like, get this. So they played 90s, early 2000s. They split up for 11 years.
11 years.
And then they spent a bunch of time just touring and not putting out new music. And then.
Spent a time.
Get this. In a May 2000. So Castellano is one of the original members. And he. Oh, first of all, their bassist. He came back after spending time with.
Wait, make Aaron guest. Guess what the previous bands are.
It's going to take forever.
Like the opening bands?
It's like such a crazy list of bands that this Mogwai. Guy. No, here.
Oh, that the guy was in.
Dude, this list is bonkers.
You already know this?
Yeah, we were talking about this before you joined us.
This is who is this that's in it? Like the main guy?
Okay, so no. Alan Lanier retired from live performance in 2007 after not appearing with the band. Castellano switched to rhythm guitar and keyboards, and then he filled in on lead guitar and vocals for an ailing Buck Dharma. Buck Dharma, that's an ailing crazy name. And the position of bassist was taken up by Rudy Sarzo.
It's like gout. It's like I got gout, yeah. And I got an ailing Buck Dharma.
Buck Dharma.
I got the ailing Buck Dharma.
So they're the bassist.
In college, I used the shower. Oh, dude,
I just texted him.
Flip-flops, and you know, now I got Buck Dharma.
Buck Dharma. I texted him because he told me if they don't play Godzilla, I'm going to riot. So I just texted him asking if they played, and he said, heck yeah, they're doing Reaper right now as we speak. The keyboard has a cowbell effect, so they're not even using a real cowbell, which is pretty.
No.
The drummer just does it. It's like on your drum kit. It's not like you need an extra.
That actually kind of makes me upset.
I think it's hilarious, but
it's hilarious, but it is also like, well, I don't think it's like an intentional thing. I do hate it when bands are like, I'm not just going to play the old hits that you want to hear, and it's like, well, that's the only reason anyone even cares about.
Yeah, but they have no obligation to like fulfill your.
Yeah, SNL. But like the cat like skip. Choose to be like, hey, remember that thing that everyone made fun of you for? You should. You should pay respectful homage to it, you know, like literally. And it never occurred to me until recently, like in recent years, that like growing up watching that sketch or like when I was in high school or whatever, it always just seemed like a ridiculous sketch.
Yeah.
Right. Like it. But the whole point of it is that like the cowbell is way too prominent in that song.
Yeah,
and it just bangs through the entire song on the actual song, you know.
Yeah, but
and it
like,
never really occurred to me.
I know,
just thought it was a funny thing because he's being so funny, you know.
Yeah, that's and that is the joke. But like, but also like, people. I feel like I know most people that love that sketch also like the song. They wouldn't
totally.
Say
everyone not, who's heard the song likes the song. It's not like hateful.
Yeah, it's a great, like, it's an amazing song, but they're poking fun at it.
Yeah.
You know, like,
but that's, it's not like they're playing for SNL. They're playing for fans. And the fans are like, I like that song.
What
the fans
mean?
Aren't like, hey, that's play that saying. Thing that I want to make fun of there.
Yeah. That's
you know
what we
I'm
just
saying?
Said. Yeah.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like the doing.
No, that's
it,
what I'm saying.
What I'm saying is playing it on the keyboard doesn't do a disservice to the song. It only does a disservice to the SNL skit,
which is not their doing. Like,
okay. I think I see your, are you saying that they're, that it might even be intentional?
No,
I'm
we're
saying
just saying
they don't
that
care. I'm saying
it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing as them refusing to like play their old hits or whatever.
Yeah. The only reason to be disappointed they're doing it on the keyboard is because you like the SNL sketch.
Exactly, which means, which no. to them would be like, oh, you're not a real fan or whatever.
Yeah, if you had never seen the SNL sketch and you're like, wow, you would not care that they're doing a cowbell on a keyboard.
You wouldn't even really, like, you would maybe notice if they didn't play the cowbell. But that's the thing is, like, if you think about it, like, yeah, okay, they've got this one cowbell going through the entire song, but it's not like that. It's not like leading up to that sketch for years and years, everyone had been saying, hey, you know, Don't Fear the Reaper, there's way too much cowbell on that song. You know, it's like a very subtle jab at like something that isn't even that obvious, I don't think.
I'm not even sure it's a cowbell in the original song. It could be. It sounds it must be. Like a block, like a wood block.
Oh, it could be. Like the two sound pretty similar, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Neither of them sound like that.
Or it's definitely record. Like it's definitely like a muted cowbell if it's a cowbell.
Hi, Josiah.
It's not ringing out. Is that DJ Jesse?
Cole says hi.
Tell him what I said.
What, Aaron? What did you say?
I said, "Is that DJ Jesse?" VJ Jesse.
VJ Jesse.
Let me share my. Can I share my screen? Let me share my screen, Phil.
Okay. I can't believe you never heard Godzilla. I was looking up to see if Godzilla, like, what movies it had been in, and on the Wikipedia page, it has a list of like it says like parodies of the song, and there's only one parody listed, and it's called Nozilla. And it was made by members of the band. They parodied their own song as a joke when the song was not included on the soundtrack for the 1998 film Godzilla.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That's a woodblock.
It sounds like
with a little like thing too.
It's like so far back in the is that the joke that it's like too prominent in the because like you can barely hear it.
It's louder in the like sketch version. I think.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's way louder.
It's definitely like there.
Listen, the other part of the joke in the sketch is that there's like nine guys and they all look ridiculous. Well, they have fake mustaches on. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's also making fun of Behind the Music.
Yeah, the part of the bit was...
Yeah, like it's making fun of like these producers who you just like, oh, you trust what they say because they're this producer even though they make weird decisions and crap like that. So maybe that
it's a lot of things.
Maybe that isn't the joke, but it is one of those things that seems like, oh, it's like the Pepper Boys sketch or something. Like it's just funny because they're being funny.
Yeah,
about
it, I would assume that it probably like started out with two people listening to that song and one of them like pantomiming the cowbell and they're like, that's
hilarious. Totally. And they're like, oh, that's funny to think. Well, and it's funny to think about because he wasn't even the singer.
No, he's just a random. He only.
Yeah, so it's like, why is he even in the studio with him to play this cowbell? You know,
like he was a member
but
of
that,
the band. Just
but that is 100% a woodblock, right?
It sounds way more like a woodblock to me.
It sounds so much.
He
like
should
a
be
woodblock,
like,
dude.
Gotta have more woodblock.
But that's not as funny.
No, it's not.
Well, and because when you're trying to make it a why did I just type the same thing again?
I got a fever. And the cure is more woodblock.
Well, and when you're trying to make it sound like the instrument itself sounds more ridiculous. While this it does indeed include a cowbell playing throughout the song, it sounds largely drowned out by the rest of the instruments. Okay, we're just looking up Wikipedia on this thing. It's a comedy sketch. Regular customer Will Ferrell, who wrote the sketch, playwright Donnell Campbell, as a fictional cowbell player. Who's overzealous playing annoys his bandmates but pleases producer Dickinson. Yeah. While the song does indeed include a cowbell playing throughout the song, the sound is largely drowned out by the rest of the instruments. According to Donald Buck Dharma Roser, Buck Dharma, neither of those are his actual names. The lead singer and author, the sketch accurately portrays the band's look during the 1970s, which is hilarious that he would confirm that, but it inaccurately portrays some of the details of the actual recording. Oh, you don't say. There wasn't some sweaty dude banging a cowbell over his head. Oh my gosh.
It's like a cowbell, but like it has like a pillow in it or something. Or I guess if you hold a cowbell.
I mean, it says.
If you hold it,
mutes it.
Yeah, if you're holding it with your hand.
Yeah.
I picture a cowbell as being on a drum kit, but maybe somebody was holding it with their hand, you know.
Apparently,
and then it would be all muted.
Haven't you seen guys where they do that where they're like
it's like a tambo, but
they let go and squeeze to change the tone while they're
So there was an actual cowbell player, dude. Check this out. Farrell later revealed, it's weird because when you see that name, I want to say Farrell, but it's Will Farrell. When you see it just by itself.
Colin Farrell.
Later revealed that a woman working in the art department of SNL was the daughter of a man who worked on Agents of Fortune, which I guess is the CD that it's on. She reportedly told her the album. She reportedly told him that the band had seen the sketch and said the actual cowbell player in question was not unlike Farrell's interpretation. Why would they even, like, I had no idea. Maybe they were actually trying, maybe they were making fun of the fact that they had a cowbell player or something.
It's just some coked up. It's also just like the 70s.
Actual cowbell player. The fact that there's even an actual cowbell player.
Just insane, coked up people. Some guy banging away on the cowbell.
Oh my gosh.
That's too good.
Though the song is previously well known for its creepy tone, co-vocalist Buck Dharma said that Farrell pretty much sabotaged that. Yeah, now everyone thinks of it as, because it's kind of a haunting song, right?
Well, it's like about suicide.
Yeah, like, but now like you think of it as like this ridiculous, hilarious song or whatever.
Yeah. Well, yeah, now it's just a joke. It's just a cowbell.
Exactly.
That's too good.
Wow. Okay, so going back to Blue Oyster Cult, their bassist who joined their band again in 2006, some of the bands that he previously was a member of, Quiet Riot, White Snake, Ozzy Osbourne, and Dio.
All right, so he's just like a metal bassist.
I guess, but how did he...
Metal bassist.
Let's see. Is a Cuban-American hard rock? Yeah, remains best known for his... Rudy Sarzo. He's best known for his work with Quiet Riot, Ozzy Osbourne, and Whitesnake. Like, you got to choose one if you're going to say best known. And he also
he's
played
best known for the fact everything that he played for a lot of bands.
Yeah. Oh, including Manic Eden, Dio, Blue Oyster Cult, Jeff Tate's Queensryche. That's always a fun one when somebody.
Yeah.
They take the old band name, but they put like, oh, this is, you know. Oh, and the Guess Who.
I was talking to my wife about this the other day because there used to be in the town like near, so where I grew up, there's like a bunch of small towns, right? And there was this restaurant, this steakhouse called the Town Pump. And there was like, someone had a falling out and like one of the chefs left and they like split and they started their own restaurant. And they called it the Town's Pump.
I think you told, did you tell me about that?
I think I told this story before.
Oh, because we were talking about Ruth's Chris.
Oh, yeah. So they were from Town Pump to the Town's Pump.
That's so funny, dude.
And then they got in trouble. They had to change it. But it's so stupid.
It is hilarious that Ruth's Chris started out as like she was distinguishing herself from the other one. It became, like ridiculously popular or whatever.
I was just listening to, I like to watch like freestyle raps on TikTok. That's one of my things. And you guys know who Cordae is?
I don't know.
He's a young rapper. I think he is dating or was dating Naomi Osaka, the tennis star. But he had a line in his where he said, "We Uber Eats Ruth's Chris," which I thought was pretty good.
Dude, that's good. That is like a flex.
Yeah.
Because the cost would just be like astronomical. Be astronomical.
I know. And it wouldn't even be that good when you got it.
You said Cordae, and I thought you said corduroy, but did you see that? Did you see that thing about the corduroy pillow?
I did. What remind me? It was like a joke, right?
It's making headlines.
Oh yeah, it's making headlines. I saw that one.
Yeah, it's so dumb. I thought though, like that's good for a dad joke. Phil, what are you concentrating on? You should concentrate on our podcast.
Dude, I went to a...
And why aren't you wearing a shirt? And why are your shoulders also sexy and muscular?
I went to a magic show last week. I don't know if I told you guys about this, but it was this Mexican magician. And he goes, "I'm going to disappear on the count of three." And then he says, "Uno, dos."
Yeah.
And then he disappeared without a trace.
I saw that one too. I have a feeling our For You pages are extremely similar.
Yeah, it's a FWP for, or that's not how you spell
FYP.
FWP. FUP for us page. For y'all.
Did you see the other page. One where the guy kept asking his wife for her fupa and he meant loofah?
No.
No.
Pretty good one. So guys, really good. Oh, that was all we had. Oh, no, there's another thing. Okay, Aaron. Oh,
did I tell you guys? So I ran into this guy on the street, and he, like, put a gun to my head, and he said, I'm going to kill you if you can't name two types of water maintenance or water something systems.
Oh, yeah. Said, he says, well yeah, water, like, water containment water devices containment. Or something, yeah, something like that. Well, damn.
Stupid.
Okay, Aaron, in May 2017, Castellano appeared, yeah, and yeah. said they were going to put out a new album in 2018, and that the band was currently considering offers from multiple record labels. Yeah. He also stated that former bassist Danny Miranda would be playing with the band for the remainder of the year due to Sultan's prior touring commitments with, you guessed it, Todd Rundgren.
Oh, nice.
And it all comes around.
Dude, they did put out a new album.
Frank Stallone.
They put out a new album.
Aaron, I'm sorry.
When did it come out? Do you know?
We need to stop.
They put out one in 2020 called The Symbol Remains.
The Symbol Remains.
No, Aaron, we need to stop.
Yes, they did. Don't say no.
Aaron, we need to stop.
I'm listening.
Collaborate.
You need to give a better, bigger freaking reaction.
Todd Rundgren, I get it. It's good.
The bomb that Cole just dropped on this podcast.
It's not all that
much. I'm disappointed.
I don't care.
It wasn't that much. Did you see? You need to give a bigger reaction to the picture that I just sent in the chat. That's for sure.
I didn't see that. Okay.
Did you see it, Phil?
I see it now.
So Blue Oyster Cult.
Your shoulders are sculpted.
They refer to themselves as BOC, like on their website.
Okay.
Bock, but the O has the umlaut on it, and
it's Boke.
I just think that's funny.
Boke.
Yeah.
Boke.
Okay. Boke. I forgot that I sent this in the chat.
Boke.
That Ibanez, I have no interest in it, but I love the freaking color though.
The pink sparkle.
Oh, also.
Yes. Yeah, dude, it's way good.
The show in Kent in Layton, Utah is sold out, and the O in sold and the O in out also have umlaut on it.
No, that's pretty good.
Those freaking goobers. Jeez,
I like that.
I like these guys. Oh, they're gonna be at Viejas Casino. I wonder how much it's gonna cost. Let me see. Day Vigas. After tomorrow, this Friday.
Vigas.
Viejas. Accepting $20. Dude, I could see Blue Oyster Cult for $20.
Do it, dude.
How big is the venue?
Unless you're afraid of the Reaper.
I don't know. Oh, it's concerts in the park, so it's like an outdoor.
Yeah, venue. That's what this one is too.
Okay, but how big?
It's park sized. I don't know.
Like Central Park?
I don't know how big it is.
How big is it though?
Stop asking me how big it is.
So, guys,
Ventura County Fair. Concert is free with fair admission, so even better.
Dude, that
how much
is
does it cost,
like,
cost to go to the fair?
I don't know.
Not expensive. It's a county fair, right? Yeah. And it's not Ventura County has some world famous county fair or something.
I feel like county fairs, like I also have in my mind, oh, that's probably not that expensive, but I think it's been forever since I went to the county fair, and I bet.
Dude, listen to the lineup at the Ventura County Fair Wednesday. So tonight, Martina McBride.
Okay,
tomorrow, that's Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Dude.
Friday is the All American Rejects.
What the crap?
Saturday is Blue Oyster Cult. Sunday is some bands in Spanish that are probably very popular.
Is one of them Mana?
It's La Arrolladora Banda Limón, Los Paras, and Jesús Ojeda. Ooh. So no Mana. Monday is the Beach Boys.
Is that Jesus one? Is that just Jesus culture in Spanish?
Jesus Ojeda. Tuesday, Monday.
Wait,
the Beach Boys? Yes. Tuesday is Clay Walker, who I think is like a big country star.
Yeah, yeah.
And then sounds Wednesday like is Cheap Trick.
Jeez,
sick.
Clay Walker sounds like it would be that fake
lineup.
You know when Bo Burnham was on Parks and Rec?
Oh yeah.
like the fake country guy, you know?
It's $15 to get into the fair, by the way.
Jeez.
Dude, that's so...
But you're not seeing all those bands. You're seeing whatever band of the day it is.
I guess.
The band is
you can get like a...
Yeah, it's $15 per day.
Weekly pass or something. That's
but
not really
today though. Was today. You could see Martina McBride for $1 because today is dollar day.
Jeez.
Martina McBride is like the most currently popular of any of those bands, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she's probably a little bit dated at this point. So probably okay. Clay Walker might be the...
Maybe
most,
so.
Like currently popular. Again, I don't know about La Arrolladora Banda Limón.
Or the Spanish Jesus culture.
Yeah.
So I went to a concert last week. Do you want to hear about it? Like to hear about it? Here it goes.
Sure.
It was think about the some early 2000s screamo bands.
Okay.
That you would
want
to see.
I think of Thursday.
Okay.
Is Thursday screamo?
Yes. I would have much rather seen them than any of these bands, but that's because I love Thursday.
I guess I would think of early 2000s screamo bands. Oh, I think I know the show that you went to, but I don't know that I would have thought of any of those bands as screamo before you mentioned that.
Well, the headliner isn't really, they're not screamo. The Used is definitely screamo. Okay, so the opening band.
Yeah, okay, I can see that.
The opening band was Senses Fail, which they're definitely screamo.
Did they scream? I never really got into them, so I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like they have a separate guy that screams versus the singer, you know, which
was a
typical thing,
a fairly common thing with screamo, but it seemed like it was all the same guy in the show, but he also, he honestly, okay. So what's the biggest concern you have going into a screamo show is the fact that it's hard to scream like that, you know? Mm-hmm. And you never know how bands are going to be on the day.
I don't know
if you remember, but I don't know if we did this on the podcast. I feel like we talked about the Used and the fact that he had to have surgery on his vocal folds for some nodules, some nodes or whatever. And I had looked up some recent concerts and he sounded freaking ridiculous.
Like bad.
Really?
Like an 8-year old girl singing Used songs or something. No, I was like, like
he's like
really ridiculous because he's known for like isn't like he's known for like throwing up during his concerts because he sings so hard and like destroys his voice so much.
And it was more like he would like sing and then like go into a scream, right? Like at the end of
exactly. Like he they sounded freaking
dated because he threw up because he was dating Kelly Osbourne.
That's very rude
because they party a lot. Osbourne.
So Senses Fail.
Misogyny is not funny.
Senses Fail girls is my party too, favorite. Bro. Is my favorite of all those bands.
She out-partied him and he threw up.
And they weren't like amazing. Well, first of all, they started really early. It was outdoors, outside of like
They were
one
like
of the
16 when they started.
Outside of one of the bigger venues here, and I think it's probably because of noise ordinance. They finished the entire concert at like 9:55.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So I'm assuming they had to be done at 10 o'clock, you know? So yeah, it was great. So Senses Fail started. They were okay. Not amazing though. And then the Used played and they sounded freaking good. And I don't really like the Used that much. I don't dislike them, but I never like sought out their music. They're a weird, because they're from Utah, but they're also like very, you know, progressive. Obviously. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, they kind of hate a lot of things about Utah.
Right. Like the heat.
The exactly. And, I don't know if that affected it. I was just never super into them. They just weren't my thing.
Is it worth it? Can you even hear me? Standing with your spotlight on me.
You just are incapable of just listening to something for 3 seconds. I just had this conversation with my son. I was like, you don't, because he'll just make snarky remarks about every little thing, and none of them are clever, you know. I'm not saying that about you. I'm saying that about him.
Yeah.
And I was like, you don't have, he's 11 years old. He's, yeah. his His humor is terrible.
For an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
He's a dumb four. And then the headliner. So the used was surprisingly good. And then the headliner was Rise Against.
Oh, Rise Against.
And their lead singer, in fact, my brother went with me, and he's a big Rise Against fan. And he was honestly pretty disappointed because their lead singer doesn't, he kind of like, he slides to all of his notes. Like you can tell he's like trying to take care of his voice, right? Mm. He doesn't really scream a lot of the stuff, and they aren't like super screamy, but he kind of yells a lot, you know? Mm. And anyways, but it was my 11-year-old that you were just saying is stupid. It was his first concert he's ever been to. Nice. And like, you got to admit, for an 11-year-old as your first concert, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
And we went up to the front. I should have sent him up. So we went up to the front and basically stood right where, you know how there's always like, there's like the empty, they're like a moat around the stage where they catch all the crowd surfers and send them back down the side. We were basically standing right where they send them back down to the crowd. Mm. And so after their encore, they were getting ready to like throw out, you know, he was trying to like throw out, I don't know what, like, you know, I don't know, you know, the drummer was throwing out his sticks or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
He was trying to like throw out the set list or something. And he pointed at my son, but I didn't have him go up there quick enough because they were like looking for kids, you know, that's like the, yeah. I should have had him just run up to the front because he totally could have got like something.
It was like the 70s, all these rock stars just looking for kids.
Exactly. Or like now, did you hear about Dane Cook?
Oh, yes. That girl, yeah.
His longtime love.
Now 22.
He's been together with for 5 years, and she's now 23, and he's 50.
Oof.
That's not great. Not a great look.
I saw someone on TikTok said he was 37 when she was born.
Yeah. It's like, well, not quite. 27, but.
He met her when she was 15.
Yeah.
Of course.
That's not a great look.
And he was,
and everyone's like, it's not 42. Weird because he waited until her 18th birthday to have sex with her. Like, first of all, he probably didn't, but also like, he was like 40 something at the time. 45. Ugh.
Yeah. I mean, if you meet someone on their 18th birthday, then sure, whatever, I guess it doesn't matter. But
so Aaron, are you gonna go see Alkaline Trio when they play with Coheed and Cambria?
I really would like to, but I don't know. When is this?
I don't know when it is for you, but for me, it's next Wednesday.
Oh,
I'm probably going to go. They sent out this deal where you could get 4 tickets for $80, which is nice. Like a pretty big discount.
I just saw the Descendants announce some shows.
Did you?
Oh, announce some shows.
Yeah.
Dude, I would love to see the Descendants. I saw that
they announced some shows. I'm trying to remember who they're with.
I feel like I hate that there's that movie called The Descendants because every time somebody mentions it, I get excited.
Oh.
And then I realize they're not talking about the band.
There's also like a Disney show called The Descendants.
Oh, that's what I'm... Is that what I'm... Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
No, there was the movie. There was the George Clooney movie, which was pretty...
Cincinnati.
Got some like a... Good...
Got some heat.
Good press, good reviews. I guess. Had some like critical acclaim, some buzz, if you will.
Some boost.
And then there's the Disney show called Descendants, which I don't know what that's about.
The Descendants are playing in Pomona, California.
Yeah, it's a Pomona. The Glass House is a cool.
They're not coming to Utah, though. That sucks.
They're only playing like 2 or 3 shows.
Who's the hardcore? Well,
they're going to freaking Albuquerque and Phoenix.
Yeah.
Okay, who's that? I'm forgetting the name. Who's that? The hardcore, like, Christian band that's from, like, Sweden or whatever?
Oh, Blindside.
Blindside. I saw Blindside at the Glass House.
The Sandra Bullock movie?
The Glass House is cool.
It was freaking sick.
I saw a lot of good shows back in the day. I got, my buddy and I, in the early 2000s, like, kind of right after high school, we went through like a greaser phase where we would like slick our hair back with Vaseline and stuff and, you know, dress like.
I went through a Soche phase.
I was more, I was more into like Murray's pomade and Royal Crown. So we went to a show at the Glass House. I believe it was like a bunch of, so a lot of Christian bands play there because it's an all ages venue. But anyway, we saw some bands and some guys there were like also greasers, and they tried to like recruit us into their greaser gang.
You're like, no.
They're like, we're called the Grease Monkeys, and like, you guys should join our gang.
That's a little on the nose.
I know.
You really have to have grease in your nickname?
That's it.
That's hilarious.
Grease Monkeys. They tried to recruit us.
It's pretty.
Dude, I went to a show there, and I saw Page of the Lion on the Control tour when that album first came out.
Dude.
With Starflyer 59, and that was a freaking sick show.
Dude, that's crazy.
Yeah, that album's so good. On the 10th anniversary of that show in San Diego, the 10th anniversary of the album, and the 20th anniversary is this year. I'm like, ooh, if they tour again.
Okay, so here's a question for you. I have two shows coming up, and I should probably decide one or the other. So Alkaline Trio and Coheed and Cambria is one, and then Less Than Jake is playing with Bowling for Soup, which sucks. I don't want to see.
If it was me, I would do Alkaline Trio and Coheed.
Yeah.
Because I feel
but that's
because
you don't love ska.
No, but I feel like Coheed's going to
Coheed would be a fun
Bowling for Soup.
Oh, that's, yeah, indisputable.
And I
right?
would, like, less Jake, Alkaline Trio is maybe kind of a toss-up, but for me, I like Alkaline Trio better.
I saw Less Than Jake a couple years ago, which maybe is the deciding factor for me.
I haven't seen Alkaline Trio since, like, the Good Morning tour.
Yeah, I haven't seen him since before my mission, so, like,
oh yeah,
you know,
like
2002.
Yeah, I probably saw him like a year or two after that. Dang.
So
you saw him when they were like brand new.
So in The Outsiders is a book, right?
Mm-hmm. And a movie.
It's pretty lame that they have this nickname for for one group of people called the Soches, and it's spelled S-O-C. Yeah, like as a reader,
socks.
How would you know that that's pronounced that way? Do they specify that somehow?
I'm sure they specialize the Soches because they're social.
But even then, like when you read it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I remember I thought it was the socks as we read it in class, and then we watched the movie and I was like, oh.
I was wondering if this was a thing that like in the time period that everyone like absolutely knew what that was.
Yeah, yeah. If that was like everyone had Soches at their school or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. If it was a term that like
might have been.
I think the book was like written in like the 70s or the 80s though, and
like after the time it was like Greece.
Yeah. So it's not it's like set. It's like a period piece basically.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Yes.
So are you saying Aaron. that Soche was a popular term in the time that the book is set or in the time that the book was written?
Well, both. That it would be that it was popular in the time it was set, and then like okay, for instance, I mean,
well, it's the same actress. I don't know if it's supposed to be the same person.
If I said the three of us know what the term square means,
right?
It's not our term, but we know what it means, but my guess is most of my students, if I used it, they'd be like, I don't know what that means. I've never heard that. I have no idea what that means.
Especially if you're like L7 weenie.
For young adults, the readers would be not us as middle-aged men, but your students as teenagers. So I guess what I'm trying to say is
you're trying to say that you are a butthole, Aaron. That's what you're trying to say.
I'm trying to say
it's like refried butthole.
Say Aaron, say it. Say it. I'm a butthole.
So are you saying if your students read a book about and they call people squares, they'd be like, what, Mr. Eisenhower, what's a squarry? What's a squarry?
Yeah.
That was not a joke about you. That was a joke about
Soches. It was a good joke.
Right, right. Yeah, it was a good joke.
It was a good joke.
Yeah. So good.
I feel so bitter.
Is it time to start the next episode?
Gotta end this one.
It could
first.
Be. No milk will ever be our milk.
What? No milk that's, will ever be ours.
That's Billy Madison.
Oh, I don't know that movie well enough to.
That's crazy.
Recognize it. I'm trying to see when this book was written, but this is like a 2006 edition. When was the movie came out in what year, do you think?
87.
83. Oh, when do you think the book was written?
75.
Phil?
70?
Let me tell you, let me say, this is a very significant year for you.
Oh, 1945 when he was drafted?
1967, the year you turned 21. 1967. I think a lot of people regard it as the first young adult book, or young adult novel.
Oh, do you think that a lot of people regard it that way?
Yeah, Aaron, do you think that?
I do. That's why I said it.
You're plagiarizing. You're verbally plagiarizing, Aaron.
Wait, is that written down somewhere?
From Wikipedia.
Is that on Wikipedia? I swear I did not read that from Wikipedia.
A lot of people regard it. Regard it, Aaron.
Nobody uses the words of regard, Aaron. Your fancy book learning words.
That's not even here in the
black and white.
The Wikipedia entry. She wrote the book when she started when she was 15, and it was published when she was 18.
The author was a woman?
Yeah, S.E. Hinton.
Oh, yeah, S.E. I should have known.
Yeah,
S.E.
Time, you had to.
Oh, is it S.E. like that? E-S-S-I-E? It's good old S.E. It was written
good
by
old S.E.
Written by a cow.
Dude, I saw this.
Cut that part out. I don't want to get canceled.
I saw this Cedric the Entertainer bit on TikTok.
What a cow.
And he goes, I met this guy in Atlanta, and he goes, my name is Chris Jones, but you can call me, he's like, everyone calls me Bominicious. And so he's like, so I called this guy Bominicious all weekend. I was like, hey, Bominicious, come over. We're going to party. Go, Bominicious, go get some beer and come on over. He's like, see you later, Bominicious. He goes, and then my cousin goes, what did you call him? He goes, he said to call him Bominicious. He goes, no, his name is CJ. And he said, everyone calls me by my initials.
Holy crap. That is good. Bominicious.
Hey, Bominicious.
That's so good.
I'm just being CJ. Respectful. I'm calling him what he asked me to call him.
Bominicious.
I love that the dude holy just let him call him that crap. All weekend, too.
Yeah, exactly. Never corrected him.
He's like, it's Cedric the Entertainer. If he wants to call me Bominicious.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
What am I going to... He gave me a nickname. It's a weird nickname, but...
Yeah, it's high praise.
But if I was that... If I knew that dude... How does anyone call him anything other than Bominicious for the rest of his life?
Oh, yeah, forever. That is a great... Who... Not only... There are, like, good nicknames, but that's a good nickname with a great backstory,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, good story, you know? Too, yeah. Bominicious. thanks for friendship.
Hey, thanks for friendship.
You know what else is a great nickname?
Friendship.
Tanks. Dude, we should start a war company... Where we sell war vehicles called Tanks for Friendship.
No, we would call it Tanks for Bloodshed.
No,
it's for war.
No, no, no. We need to start a nonprofit.
No.
Where you turn in tanks.
Oh, it's like a buyback, a tank buyback.
Yes.
And what you get in return is friendship.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I feel like. The value proposition just isn't there, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
We promise friendship if you turn in a tank.